church. We are thrilled that you are here tonight to help us celebrate. It's something that we have made a priority every year that God allows us to do this thing that he calls church and to be knit together and to get the word out to those who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that there is a relationship with the God of the universe waiting for them, and for those who do know Jesus Christ to become all that God has called them to be. We celebrate that every year, and tonight is our night to do that. And Lord, we acknowledge that for 13 years, the lives that you have changed and the hearts that you have pulled from the fiery furnace, but all the work that was done and all the accomplishments, it hasn't been because of us. It has been because of you. It's because you are alive and well, and you are still saving souls. You are taking those who are spiritually dead, and you are giving us life. And I pray that you would continue that. You have been the wind beneath our wings. You have been the wave that we have ridden. You have been the shield that has protected your soldiers as we've done what you called us to do for 13 years, and I pray you would help us be our shield as we move forward. Amen. You may be seated. It is finally here, Westbridge's 13th anniversary service, the very first service of our 14th year, and I must say that I have, how cool, right? I must say, I really never have put more time and more thought into celebrating God's work here than I have the past 2 weeks. Hopefully, you all have Facebook and have been sharing your gratitude for what God has done in your life while here at Westbridge. I know I have. I decided a week and a half ago to thank God for 10 things that he has done for me through the 13 years. Year Westbridge adventure. One of the reasons that I felt compelled to do those postings is because it sets the stage for what we will be talking about tonight. 10 days of gratitude and thanks and celebration are really not overkill. I don't think they're overkill at all when it comes to the magnitude of the mission that God has placed on this church. We are called to be soldiers. Soldiers in God's army. We are called to go into the streets. We are called to go into the byways, into the fields, and even the farthest reaches to rescue the perishing and to find those who are dying. Now, we know we will see opposition. And we will suffer harm. Yet, we are to fight hard to get the message of God's love and restoration out to people. And this church force does just that. I spoke with a friend recently, and I invited them to come to the anniversary service tonight. And I was surprised by their response. They told me that they were in a really, really tough time in their life. And that they couldn't relate to a lot of cheering, they couldn't relate to a lot of victory, and they couldn't relate to a lot of hooraying, at least not right now. They had put down their sword, and they needed a break. Fight. We must be mindful that we are in a war, and we will not fight unscathed. I accepted my friend's answer about being weary and not feeling up to being here tonight, but it got me thinking, and it got me talking to God. I asked, Lord, how do soldiers soldier through the darkest periods of their life? Is there a way that we can break out of the darkness and into celebration? can tonight be a night where we learn how to soldier through our darkest night and our deepest valley. I mean, King David was able to do it. When it comes to darkness and hopelessness, look what David wrote. He wrote, "The voice of my sorrow is a weariness to me. All the night I make my bed wet with weeping. It is watered by the drops flowing from my eyes." And yet, this is the same David who wrote this in Psalm 34. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." See, friends, I believe that God can turn mourning into dancing. And I believe he can take us from the deepest darkness into the light of celebration. So for all the soldiers who come in here tonight feeling like my friend, let's find out how we can soldier through the darkness and get to where we are blessing the Lord at all times and praising him with our lips. All right, let's dive right in. To begin, we need to stop this vortex of darkness, this whirlwind spinning around us when we're in that state. And to do this, we have to confront some lies that the evil one has us believing. Remember what Jesus said about the evil one. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But the Bible then gives us the key to stopping the whirlwind of darkness that spins around us. It tells us in John 8:32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, gang, my friend's darkness and our darkness that we get into is fueled and fed by lies. It's all about incorrect beliefs. It's all about incorrect ideas that we are running on. Satan's job is to make us believe what is not true. Let me show you how he does this. Number one lie. The number one lie that blackens the darkness of this horrible whirlwind that spins around us is this lie: I'm the problem. I spoke with my son last week, and when I spoke to him, things were pretty dark for him. He had a whirlwind of darkness spinning around him. He had started college in August, and he took mechanical engineering. Now, everyone who has ever been around him academically has told us mechanical engineering is not a good fit for him. That's not a good fit. But nonetheless, he was in it. Now, five of his seven classes, that's all the non-engineering classes, well, they were going great. But the two engineering classes were not going great. He was drowning. He was drowning in a darkness of despair and hopelessness. He started not sleeping, studying straight through the night, establishing and building study groups, all to no avail. Things looked bleak for him, but the darkness turned even blacker because he bought into the lie that the devil was saying to him, and that is, it's you. You're the problem. You're stupid. You're incapable, and you are going to be a failure. Gang, that lie will darken the storm, and it will speed the winds around you horribly. Why? Because that lie makes the darkness personal. This lie says, you are bad. You are a failure. You are the entire reason for this situation. I remember there was a movie that came out years ago. It was called Good Will Hunting. A lot of cuss words in that movie. I won't recommend that one. But it dealt with a highly gifted street kid who deep down inside, this street kid, he was a math genius. The problem, though, was that this young man named Will, he was locked in a dark world of nothingness and a world of underachieving. And that was all because of the abusive home that he had grown up in. Now, the most poignant moment in the movie, the most poignant moment is when Will's counselor, who he meets with, actually shows him the file of Will's own file that's filled with horrible pictures from the hospital of Will's body with scars and cuts and horrible things that have happened to him. And the counselor slowly, but increasingly, keeps saying to Will, "It's not your fault." Over and over again, "It's not your fault. It's not your fault." And Will goes into a rage, and eventually he collapses. Because all this time, he had bought into the lie that it was his fault. Gang, in your darkness, your personhood, your existence is not the problem. The truth will set you free. And the truth for my son is that we all have things that we're not supposed to be good at. God made us that way. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 29 and 30, Paul asks, "Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we have the ability to interpret unknown languages?" "Of course not." And to my son, I said, "And we are not all supposed to be mechanical engineers." How disappointing do you think my world, Drew Kleinbell's world, would be if every effort, if every desire in my life was aimed and focused on me becoming a world-famous jockey? Yeah. And winning the Kentucky Derby. Well, life would get pretty discouraging and hopeless and black. The truth is, I'm not a failure. I'm not a loser. I'm not worthless. I'm just not a jockey. And I've camped out on a dream that God didn't want me to dream. Now, hang on to this thought, and we'll get to it, some of the answers in our takeaways, but we're not done looking at the darkness-energizing lies. Two more lies. The second lie that Satan uses to spin the whirlwind of your darkness and your bleakness and your despair, the second lie that he is going to use is this: your whole life is crumbling. Your whole life is crumbling. With this lie, he tries to convince you that the darkness is pervasive in your life. That what you're going through is all-consuming. And that this darkness, this issue, ruins everything. It ruins everything in your life. I had someone come to me and tell me that they were losing their house. They had lost their job, and their new job was not supplying enough income to carry the mortgage. Gang, that is not a trivial problem. That is not a trivial problem. That kind of thing rocks your world. But it also can make you believe one of Satan's lies, that the sky is falling. This lie that your whole world is crumbling makes you think, all my hopes and dreams are gone. I am destitute. I won't have any place to live. I'll watch my own children starve. my entire life is ruined and over. Your darkness will blacken very, very quickly when that is all that you see. And it is an easy lie to believe when you have worked long and hard for something, or when you have made promises about something, or when you are responsible to others for something. But this lie, the whole world is crumbling lie, this is the direct opposite. The direct opposite of what God tells us. In fact, that person that I talked about losing their home, they did lose their home. But gang, that was 8 years ago. 8 years I had that conversation ago. And I'll get back to this story later. Quickly, let's look at one last lie that Satan uses to spin that black whirlwind around us. And here is the lie. There is no way out of this. There is no way out of this. Gang, this lie says that your situation is permanent. When we are in the darkness, there seems little hope of ever coming out of it. We all have been there. It seems like this thing will consume you in that it will never end. When my friend Joe spoke last week about the police academy, I was with him when he was in it, and it felt like it was never going to end. Well, guess what? It's over. When my son was stuck in mechanical engineering, there seemed no options, no options. He's out. He moved on. Biomed, give that a whirl. And when my friend's checking account was empty and that mortgage bill was sitting on the counter, homelessness looked permanent. Gang, none of these whirlwinds are trivial. They are not trivial. None of the valleys that cause us to drop our swords are minor trifling. But we can soldier through the darkness. We get there first and foremost by setting our mind on truths, not on lies. Let's get on the solution side of this thing. Takeaway number one, believe the truth and lose the lies. Gang, here is a great exercise for you. Write down all of the negative stuff that you are feeling in one column. And then in the other column right next to it, write down what the Bible says about those things. Let me give you a for instance. Here's the first thing that you might be feeling. I'm stupid. Well, then in column two, we need to write down what the Bible says about that. Like what it says in James chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God's wisdom sounds like it trumps any kind of unsmartness on the other side. The truth, gang, will set you free. How about this? On the negative side, you can put down, I have ruined my life. This whirlwind of darkness has me believing I have ruined my life. Or maybe I've ruined my family's life. Or maybe I've ruined my future. On the truth side, we can write this from Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God saying, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Next, on the lie side, I'm broke. Turn my pockets inside out. I will starve. The Bible says this in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father, he already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously. That means doing the right thing. And he will give you everything you need. Let God's truth set you free from the darkness that you need to soldier through. Takeaway number two, confirm your faith. God has a life to the full for you. But sometimes we need to look at what's good to see that the problem is not as pervasive as we think. My friend who lost their house 8 years ago had an overwhelming list of things that were good, even in the whirlwind of the darkness. They had a supporting family. They had their high school diploma. They had a bachelor's degree. They had their health, no physical issues at all. They had children who loved them and were doing well. They had a good church family. They had a running car. And they had other job options that kept coming each week. Gang, that was 8 years ago. Today, that person is looking for another house. They soldiered through the darkness, and they realized they were not the problem. They realized their problem was not pervasive. And lastly, they dusted themselves off and they made another list. Side one on the list was, what can I do? And side two was, what can only God do? Let's make that our third takeaway tonight. Pull your side of the yoke and God will pull his side of the yoke. There will be things that we need to do. There will be things we need to do to soldier through the darkness. For my son, he needed to write letters. He needed to convince the United States Army that they would best be served by having him do biology. And then he had to show them on paper how it could be accomplished in the time he had. For my friend who lost their home, it meant getting an apartment, taking an entry-level job, and working their tail off and getting promoted. For my issue of wanting to be a jockey, well, I had to get real. You see, God has designed us for what he wants us to do. We can soldier through the darkness, gang. We can see our mourning turned into dancing. Many in this place over the past 13 years have done just that. And every one of those soldiers, every one of those soldiers that is here tonight are holding their swords high and victorious, because Christ stood next to them and marched them through. Pray with me. Lord, happy anniversary. You came up with this idea 13 years ago, and we want to say thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. I pray that you'd continue your work, Lord. Let this tiny little runt of a church do what you've called us to do. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be loving, help us to be kind, and help us to never compromise. And I pray, Lord, that you would take tonight as our offering to you, and I pray that it put a smile on your face. And now be with us as we travel into the weekdays. Keep us always vigilant and ready to soldier where you've called us to soldier. And when we head into the darkness, help us not to believe lies, but to focus on our shield. To focus on the truth, to focus on all that you've given us. And Lord, we pray that in the end, when we see you, we would hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Yeah. See you next week, 7 o'clock.